So when you have a, quote, healthy relationship with food mentally and physically, you will arrive at your natural set point weight.
Welcome to the Live Unrestricted podcast, a show where you'll learn how to heal your relationship with food and your body so that you can focus your time and energy on more important things like your personal growth. I'm your host, Sabrina Magna, food freedom coach, and my mission is to help make your life happier and healthier without stress, overwhelm, or guilt about food. If you love the show, please do go out and share it. And if you're looking for support with your relationship with food, details about my programs are in the show notes. Thanks for spending time with me today. Now let's jump in. It is with the biggest smile on my face that I introduce the guest for today's episode, because you know her, you love her. She has been a repeat guest on the podcast, and I have been a repeat guest on her podcast, the Body Love Binge podcast, and this is Victoria Kleinsman. So we have very similar philosophies, and she is also a food freedom and body love coach, and we love doing these episodes together. We ask you listeners what questions you want us to answer about body image, self-love, intuitive eating, food freedom, eating disorder recovery, and we always get flooded with so many amazing questions. So once again, we have a Q&A coming for you, and your questions did not disappoint. We talked about how to know how to achieve your set point weight, what your set point weight really is, and if intuitive eating can help you get there. We talk about how to handle social situations where food is involved so that you aren't triggered by anxiety or constant fear of losing control and binge eating. We also had some questions about eating disorder recovery content and just the general theme of personal development. And can it be too much? Can you actually expose yourself to too much content that could be making your recovery process go slower or feel harder? You'll hear us talk about how to handle guilt and shame after, quote unquote, overindulging in certain foods. And in all of these questions, we always take some tangents and we draw from our personal experience going through eating disorder recovery, investing thousands and thousands of dollars into our own coaching and personal development and our own mindsets and how we handle certain situations. And that's what I really love about talking to Victoria is we both have done so much work on ourselves and we have very similar perspectives and mindsets. And I know that this episode is going to be so valuable for you. So without further ado, I'm going to play part one of my conversation with Victoria, where we answer your burning questions. Okay, so I got some really amazing questions from my listeners, and a lot of them are different from the ones that we had in our part one and two of our Q&A a couple of months ago. And if you haven't listened to that already, make sure that you do. I wish that I had the numbers of the episodes on my mind right now, but I love having you on the podcast, and we have so much to talk about. So I'm going to get right into it with one of the first questions that I got for you, and it is, will intuitive eating help my body return to its natural weight set point? And if it does, can you talk about how this may occur?
Oh, I love this question. I've got a few similarly related to set points, so I'll speak in depth a little bit about that. The answer is yes. And also, I want to speak to intuitive eating isn't, and I say isn't because I was on the intuitive eating diet. It's not the hunger and fullness diet. It's not the don't binge eat diet. It's not the don't eat emotionally diet. Intuitive eating is simply listening to your body, your needs as a whole person as to what, when, and how much to eat. It's easy, it's effortless. And so when you have, I'm going to use the word healthy in quotes, because for some reason I can't say healthy without having to quote it because of the wellness industry's wrapping healthy in a diet culture bow, and that's not okay with me. So when you have a, quote, healthy relationship with food mentally and physically, you will arrive at your natural set point weight. And that's really scary. And this is kind of answer one of the questions we had about how do you know what your set point weight is? It's really scary not knowing. It is scary not knowing, right? Because I had the fear, and I don't know about you, Sabrina, I thought I was going to keep gaining weight forever. And especially when I was allowing all foods and eating chocolate in excess, because chocolate was the thing that I'd restricted the most throughout my dieting and restrictive days, I did eat a lot of that in excess, but I kept trusting my coach and allowing. And then eventually I started craving things like potatoes, broccoli, chicken, cheese. And because I kept allowing, it's really important to keep saying that and listening to my body and my cravings and myself, I naturally eat now a balanced diet. And my set point hasn't changed. I don't weigh myself, but my size hasn't changed in 3 years now. And I started my recovery, 6 years ago now. It's not changed at all. I eat what I want, when I want, how much I want. So the answer to that is yes. And it's scary, but you just have to trust the process, because the other option is to restrict and diet, and that sucks.
Yes. And I think what's really important to understand about your natural set point is that your natural set point might not and will likely not be your ideal weight or the weight that you believe or that you want to be at. Because if you're approaching intuitive eating with the mindset of I'm doing this in order to achieve my set point, the intention behind it is so important. And that's what I'm always explaining to my clients, is that yes, of course, when you live in a society that is so fat phobic, that has such a focus on weight, we cannot possibly expect ourselves to just go from going your entire life wanting to lose weight to not caring about your weight at all. However, if you approach intuitive eating with this attachment, with this obsession with achieving your set point weight, and you're constantly asking yourself, okay, am I there yet? Am I there yet? Am I there yet? Then honestly, A, you're probably going to feel like you're not going fast enough, like you're going to feel impatient and you're going to feel frustrated, because instead of focusing internally on, okay, I'm actually starting to feel much better, I'm starting to feel more at peace, I'm trusting my body, I'm not having these insatiable cravings, but then you might feel like a failure because you're like, I really thought that my set point weight was going to be this number and I'm not there yet. And so I think that when you focus on achieving your quote unquote natural set point weight, a lot of the times it might not be the weight that you believe or that you had in mind. So I know that for me, I am really lucky that I didn't know what set point weight was when I went into recovery. I was really unaware of all of that. And so I didn't have this obsession with hitting it. But I now know that it's been about the same amount of time, 2-3 years, that my body has not fluctuated. It's not going up and down. And when I was struggling with my eating disorder, if someone had told me that the weight I currently am at was my set point weight, I probably would have been really upset, because I had this obsession with thigh gaps and having a flat stomach. And so now, like, I have far from a thigh gap and I don't have a flat stomach, but the difference is that I'm really accepting of what my body is at now, and I no longer feel like this is not the body I should be in. I'm fully confident that this is where my body is supposed to fall at, because I am eating intuitively. I am moving my body. I do have healthy habits, and that's how I know that, like, okay, Sabrina, this is where you're supposed to sit at.
Yeah, I love that. And last part to say, and it's kind of a joke, but it's not a joke. Whenever my clients ask me, when will I reach my set point? When will I get there? My answer is, when you stop asking when you'll get there.
Yeah.
Because then the control's gone. You surrender and trusting the process, and then it naturally happens instead of keep wondering when. I know it's hard. It's so hard. But practice surrendering and trusting the process and taking one day at a time.
Yeah. And I guess I want to make sure that I clarify for anyone who is not familiar with set point weight theory or what even is your set point weight. If you're like new to one of these podcasts, it's the weight that your body will naturally fall at when you're eating in a way that is not restrictive. It's not obsessive, but you're also not on the other side of the spectrum where you're constantly overeating and binge eating and emotional eating. So it's really that point where you're eating in a way that
is honoring your hunger and your fullness cues, where you're listening to your body, where you are. I truly believe that where you are moving your body, but in a way that feels good for you. You're not forcing it because you're trying to burn calories or you're trying to lose weight. It's coming from a joyful movement intention, and you're taking care of yourself from a place of self-love. And so it doesn't feel, I don't know about you, but like for me, it doesn't feel difficult to maintain this weight because it really does feel natural and it's not obsessive.
Yeah. And the point is, I'm not trying to maintain this weight. I'm just eating intuitively each day. Mm-hmm. And then this weight happens and it stays the same. And last thing about this, everyone's set point weight's different. Yes. And it's determined by genetics, primarily environment, healthy habits, and loads of other factors that we can't control. So ultimately, again, that word surrender and trust one day at a time, and also looking at your choices when your body's getting bigger and you're having difficult feelings about that, of course you will reach out for support. And it helps me to be like, okay, well, what's my choice right now? I can either go back to dieting and restricting, which I do not want to live in that restriction anymore, because also for me, towards the end of the eating disorder, I was binging anyway whenever I was restricting. So that didn't even work anyway. And I was miserable. Mm-hmm. So the only option is to keep one day at a time working through this food freedom and body love journey and arriving where we are. Mm-hmm. So happy and accepting of who and what we are. And there's no better feeling. So keep going.
That's such a good point, because I know that for me, when I was initially gaining weight and I would look back at the body that I used to have, I'm not going to pretend that I never looked back and thought, oh, like, I wish I had that body again, especially in those first few years. And whenever I would have those bad body image days, especially, I would always ask myself, and this is a question that I encourage all the listeners to ask themselves too, is what would it take for me to get back to that body? And for me, it would take sacrificing so much, my mental health, my physical health, my relationships, my social life. And so asking yourself, like, what did it take for me to be at my smallest weight? How did I feel at that smallest weight? And what do I think that that smallest weight would give me? Would it give me happiness? Would it give me health? And did it actually give you that when you were there?
Boom. Yes, Sabrina. Love that. Okay, this is a really interesting question I have. I'm really looking forward to asking you this, and then us both speaking about it. Do you think it's not helpful for ED to follow lots of recovery accounts and focus too much on it?
Oh, that's an amazing question. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, I think it could be unhelpful. I think it could be unhelpful because it will breed comparison. And like I was saying about that impatience, whenever I start working with my clients, the very first week, I always say, if you approach a goal with an attachment of, I need to finally get there so that I'm okay, so that I feel better, so that I feel enough, then you will actually achieve that goal at a slower pace because you're putting so much pressure on yourself. And like you were talking about that surrendering piece, it is so hard. And I know for me, I've had to work through it with business as well, just surrendering with where you are right now. And I know that when I would follow all of these business accounts, I thought it was motivating me, and I thought that I was getting a lot of inspiration, and then I tuned into how it made me feel. And I think that's really important for the person who asked this or anyone who's asking themselves the same question, is it will be helpful or unhelpful based on how it makes you feel. And so if you're noticing that it's actually giving you a lot of hope and you feel expansive and you feel good and optimistic and it's contributing positively to your life, then I think that that's really helpful for you and to keep doing that. But if you feel like it's getting to a point where you feel not enough, or you feel like you're not going fast enough, or you're comparing yourself to them, then it might not be, maybe like dialing it back a little bit.
Yeah, I agree, because there's a reason why she's asked this question in the first place. Mm-hmm. Right. So that shows a lot already. And all I would add on to the back of that is the comparison thing that you said. And also for me, in terms of personal development, business development, I don't know about you, but I was listening to about 50 different, it's exaggeration, 50 different podcasts and courses and programs, and I was overwhelmed. Yeah. So what I did, I was like, right, I'm going to pick three people, no more than three, and now it's honestly about two, that I absolutely resonate with on each particular subject. And then I just stuck with that one or second person and only allowed myself to follow and listen to their content, because sometimes people contradict what other person said, mm-hmm. and then you're left like, what's right? And it's just so overwhelming. So just like you said, Sabrina, feel into what feels good. And I would narrow it down to follow, not only following two people, but in terms of their content and really being involved in that, one to two people, and then trust and follow their lead in that regard.
I'm laughing because we're so similar, because I had the same, I actually called it a personal development burnout, because yeah. I was noticing that what started as this really positive thing, and I was opening my eyes and my world to something that I had really never known about when I was younger, I realized that over time, I was more approaching it from the mindset of, I have so much to fix about myself. I have so much to do, so much work to do. And I was almost listening to these podcasts with the intention of like, fix me, give me all of the things that I need to know in order to be the best version of myself. And that's not what personal development is about. Like, you're never going to be fixed, quote unquote fixed. You're never going to be at that finish line. And so in the past couple of weeks, I've actually dialed it back, and I tried, like, you know what? No personal development. I'm going to just be, because sometimes you just need to allow yourself to be, because your intuition gets to come through and you get to listen to what is best for me. Because I find that sometimes you listen because you don't trust yourself. And so yeah. you get to tune in and start integrating everything that you've learned and getting your own spin and your own perspective on it.
100%. We need time to embody what we've learned. We can't, being obsessed with learning and bettering yourself is actually a form of distraction. And once we're aware of that and we be still, which I used to find very boring, but even me finding it boring was a block from allowing myself to be with myself, everything shifts from there. So I'm so glad you brought that up, Sabrina.
Yeah. And I know that I want to move on to the next question, but I think this is really important to say, because my business coach has really brought this up to my attention in the past couple of months. And I think this can be really helpful for this question. And when it comes to just listening to your intuition and doing what you need to be doing for your recovery in general, is to start asking yourself empowering and expansive questions and being okay with not knowing the answer right away. Because a lot of the times when we're following all these accounts is because we're like, tell me what to do. Tell me what's the next step. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? And your higher self always knows. And so starting to trust yourself and asking yourself like, okay, what do I need right now? And you might not know that answer, but that answer is going to come in the silence. It's not going to come in the listening to the podcast and the overly consuming content. It's going to come in the shower or when you're about to go to bed. And it's in the silence that your higher self is going to be able to talk to you. So getting comfortable with asking yourself questions, asking your higher self questions, and not knowing the answers right away.
I love that. Always yeah. all about that, letting your higher self come through you, but she can only come through you when you give her space and quietude to actually communicate with you. Definitely. Yeah.
All right. So I hope that you loved part one. And if you did, stay tuned for next week, because we're going to give you the second part of our conversation where we talk about how to handle social situations around food, binge eating, guilt, shame, body image. So stay tuned for part two. And if you loved it, make sure to follow Victoria and I on Instagram. Send us your favorite part of today's conversation, the questions that you'd like us to answer together. And I hope that you have an amazing rest of your day. I'll talk to you next week for part two. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you found it valuable, I would love if you would share it with someone you know that could benefit. If you're loving the show, don't forget to subscribe over on Apple Podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. I really love hearing feedback from you, so please leave a rating and review over on Apple to help us get in the ears of more people who need it the most. Finally, come hang out with me on Instagram at Sabrina Magnan Health for more educational content and get up close and personal with me. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you on the next episode.